And we are at Tana Rabbanan, two lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan. So we begin here with a little bit of Gemara before we get into some real heavy Agadatas, Choni Amagel stuff, very interesting, and then the grandson of Choni Amagel, which is totally fascinating. Unfortunately, because we don't have time, all this stuff can't be analyzed, but it really needs to be piece by piece because there's so much in this. At any rate, Tana Rabbanan v'nasata gishmim b'itam. The bracha says, this is the part of the brachos before the klalos come, that Hashem, if in b'chukosai telechu, if we keep the Torah, then v'nasata gishmechem b'itam, Hashem will give us geshem b'itam, in their time. So in their time here, the Gemara is going to explain, is understood in two ways. So the first way that the Gemara understands b'itam is, lo shchura v'lo tzmeya ela benonis. It's not going to be a torrential pour. It's not going to be excessive water, velotzmeya, but it's not going to be very dry, elabenonis, but it's rather going to be a middle, meaning it's going to be just the right amount of rain. Shakolzman shagasham merubim, because if there's too much rain, metashkashinis aretz, it muddies the land, ve'ena motzia peros, and then the land cannot bring out its fruit. So that wouldn't be good. So in this context, be'itam is not understood as in their time, but it's really in their situation, meaning the rain will come down in a proper amount, right? In its proper situation, the proper amount.
It's more quantity than the physical time that it happens.
Yeah, more in terms of its quantity and basically. I don't know if we define it exactly. Be'itam is its quantity, but it's not defined in its times.
Quality.
Yeah, really the quality, be'itam in its quality. And I think, if I remember correctly, there was a Gemara similar to this in Rosh Hashanah, and itim latova, itim lara. So we see that the word ace in the Torah does not specifically, necessarily, reference a time, right? It's not necessarily just a zman, but ace is a much more global word that encompasses many other aspects of appropriate time. So at any rate, that's the Gemara's first understanding. The classic understanding is what the Gemara says now, davar acher be'itam, in its proper time. Now, what would be the proper time? Belele revi'ils, belele shabbosos. Tuesday evenings and Friday evenings. Friday evenings because nobody is out. Everybody is having their Shabbos meal, and so it's appropriate to have rain during that time because it won't bother anybody. Tuesday evenings also people are not out because, as the Gemara in Pesachim explains, there are shadim that come out. 180,000 shadim that come out during those times, and anybody who is out biyachidus is going to get smitten by the shadim. So people generally avoid getting smitten by the shadim, so they don't come out on Tuesday nights. I don't know how applicable that is nowadays. Bichlal, what?
Smited. Smitten's like they grow a fondness.
Oh.
Smited is you killed them.
Smited.
Yeah.
Smited.
You don't want to get smited by a shade.
No, you don't want to get smited by a shade. Anyway, thank you for the correction. Smited.
No comment.
Anyway, Shakin Matzino Shimon Ben Shetach. We see the same thing by the days of Shimon Ben Shetach, that time that the rain came at the appropriate time, and it was a big bracha. Shiardulhem Geshavim Beleli Ravios Beleli Shabbosos. The rain would come at exactly these times, Tuesday evening and Friday evening, Ad Shenasu Chitim Keklayos, to the point where it was such a bracha that the chitim, the wheat, grew to the size of a kidney. And saorim kegarine zesim, and the barley grew to the size of the seed or the pit of a olive, the adashim kedinari zahav, and the lentils grew to the size of a golden coin. So this was massive fruit that it was bearing. Vitzaru mehem dug maladoros, and they wrapped up an example of such fruit for doros, for generations to come to see. Lahodia kama hachet gorim, so that people should know just how badly our chataim are affecting us. That because our chataim are so pitifully bad, so therefore the wheat becomes nothing, the size of nothing. Our barley is tiny, and that impacts our chalent, and that's a terrible thing. And And the adashim are the lentils are the size of our not the size of a dinner zav.
So that means in a generation of Shimon ben Shetach that people were on a pretty high level?
Yes, the times of Shimon ben Shetach people were on a very high level. In fact, we will see a story with Choni Amagel, who was a contemporary, and Choni Amagel was on a pretty high level.
We already saw him already.
Who?
Choni Amagel was already story with him.
There was.
We're going to see him again.
We're going to see him again. Okay, we will visit him again with the same story and more. So stay tuned. Shenemar. As the Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Avanoseichem hitu eile, your sins have pushed away these brachos. V'chatoseichem manu hatov mikem, and your sins have prevented the tov from coming to you. So that is the chastisement of Yirmiyahu talking to the people during the times of the Churban. And so too we see in the times of Hurdus, when they were building the Mikdash. Shahayu Oskin b'binyan beis haMikdash. Klal Yisrael was Oskin in b'binyan beis haMikdash. V'hayyordim gesham b'layla. The rain would come down at night, which is a good time because everybody's sleeping. L'machar nishba haruach. And the following day, the wind would blow, v'nispazru ha'avim, and the clouds would scatter, v'zarcha ha'chama, and the sun would come out, v'yatzu ha'am l'malachtan, and then the people would be able to go out to their work in peace, v'yadu sh'malach es shamayim b'yadehim, and they would know that melech ha'shamayim b'yadehim, they would know that they're doing the right thing, that Hashem is behind them, right? Because things are happening at exactly the right time. So this is the times of Hordus.
I didn't think so either.
But I think the fact that they were building the bias was a positive thing. So at least for these guys, it was a good thing.
He was not a good king.
Hordus was not a good king. No, he wasn't. I don't know what the status of Klal Yisrael was at that time, in terms of Ruchnius. But Tzarchian. Here we go. So this is the story that you referenced from our Mishnah about Choni Amagel. And interestingly, our Gemara will repeat the same story with slight variations and a little bit more breath to the story as well. Why? I don't know. Tan Rabbanan. Pam achas yatsa rov adar. One time, rov adar, so there wasn't rov adar, meaning so most of the year had already gone by. There was Tishri, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves, Shvat, and most of adar had already passed. V'lo yarduk shamim, and there was no geshem. Shalcha l'choni amagel, so they sent l'choni amagel. His fellow of yarduk shamim, please daven for us that rain should fall. His fellow v'lo yarduk shamim, so he davened, but rain did not fall. So what did he do? Ag uga, he baked a cake. Or, alternatively, he just drew a circle around himself, and he stood in the middle of that circle, just like Habakkuk Hanavi did. Shenemar, as it says in Habakkuk, Al Mishmarti Amoda, on my position I will stand, v'yisyatzval matzor, and I will stand staunchly, as if in a siege. So, the same way Habakkuk did, Choni Amagel did. Amar lafanav ribono shalolam. He said to Hashem, ribono shalolam, banecha samu pneim alai. Your children have placed their faith in me, their heads, their faces on me. Shani keben bayis amanecha, because I am so close to you. Nishba ani b'shimcha hagadol. I swear on your name, she'eni zaz mikanan, she'terachim al banecha. I will not move from here until you have rachmanis on your children. Hiskilu gishamim menatfin. So then rain started to come down very, very slowly, drip by drip. Amar lo talmidav. His talmidim said to him, Rabbi, this is not good enough. Re'inucha v'lo namus. We want to see you. We don't want to die. In other words, just because Hashem is sending a little bit of rain to excuse your shavua, that doesn't do anything for us. It seems to us that the only reason why Hashem is sending these droplets of rain is to be matir your shavua, but that doesn't help us. Amar, so Choni Amagel turned to Hashem and said, Lo kach sha'alti, I did not ask for droplets of rain. I asked for plenty of rain to fill up the wells and the caves. Yardu bezaf, and so therefore it started coming down very, very hard. To the point where every single drop was the size of the opening of a barrel. And the chachamim were mishair. They approximated that there was no droplet of rain that was smaller than a lug. A lug is quite big. A lug is a good, 12 to 16 ounces probably.
Really?
So the droplet, I would think so, because a revius alug, a revius, which is a revius alug, is about 3 or 4 ounces, right? Depending on which post can you go by. So then a full lug would be a good 12 to 16 ounces.
Torrential rain.
So what?
Torrential.
Not just the torrential rain, but the droplets of rain, the size of the droplets of rain themselves are massive. Amar lo Talmidav, the Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, Reinuchav lo Namus, again, we need to see you, we don't want to die. This torrential downpour is not helping us. It seems to us that the only reason why Hashem is bringing this type of rain is because he wants to flood the world. So Choni Amagal turns to Hashem and says, what can I do? Lokach sha'alti. I did not ask for this. Ela gishmei rotzon, bracha, unedava. I asked for rain that is going to be rain of bracha. Yardu ketiknan, and finally the rain came down as it was, appropriately. To the point where everybody had to go to the Har HaBayis, a higher up place, because the Geshem was accumulating in their areas. Amru lo. So Choni Amagel said to Hashem, Rebbe, Kishem Shiz, the Talmidim said to Choni Amagel, Rebbe, Kishem Shiz Palaltosh Yardu, Kach Yispal Vielchulohem. Just like you daven that the rain should come, we need you to daven now that the rain should subside, because it's too much. Amalahem, he said to him, Kach mekublanim she'em yispal on rova tova. I have a Kabbalah that you never daven against too much tov. There's no such thing, right? We learned this before. Harikosi lechem bracha ad bli dai. Ad sheyivlu sifsoseichem ilomer dai. You never want to daven for too much against too much good. Afal pi kein, but says Choni Amagel, nevertheless, this is what we're going to do. Heviu li par hoda, bring me a par that we can bring to Hashem as a korban hoda. Heviu lo par hoda, so they brought him such a par hoda. Samach shtei yadav alav, and so he put his two hands upon it. Va'amr lafanav ribona shalolam, he turns to Hashem and he says, ribona shalolam, amcha Yisrael shahutzatim in Mitzrayim, this nation that you took out of Mitzrayim, eina nicholen lo berov tova v'lo beperonus. They can't handle good, they can't handle bad. You got angry at them, they can't withstand that. You gave them a whole lot of bracha, they can't withstand that. It should be your ratzon that the rain should finally stop. And there should be plenty in the world. And this was Choni Amagel's plea. Miyad nishba haruach, and again, immediately the wind picks up, v'nispazru ha'avim, and the clouds scattered, v'zarcha ha'chama, and the sun shone, v'yatzu ha'am l'sadeh, and the nation went out to the fields, v'eviu lohem kemenu pitrios, and the field produced for them mushrooms, and I guess truffles. Right? Anybody had those before? I never had them.
They're really good.
What?
They're really good. They're really good.
Okay. I will take your word for it. If anybody wants to bring in a truffle, they're very expensive, I imagine.
I wouldn't waste my money on that.
Okay. I hear that they're very, very good, though. If anybody wants to bring one in for... Maybe for our seum, we can bring in some truffles. We don't have to remember
that.
Pictures, that doesn't taste the same. Shalach lo Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach, then... This is the same Shimon ben Shetach, by the way. Shimon ben Shetach from above, who had all these brachos happen to them, right? They had the rains fell on Tuesday evening and Friday evening, and they had these massive fruits that came with it. Anyway, Shimon ben Shetach, who was apparently a contemporary of Choni Amagel, sent to Choni Amagel the following. He says to him, "El malich Choni ata, if not for the fact that you were Choni, gozrani alecha nidoy, I would put you in excommunication. I would put you in cherem. Why? She'ilu shanim kishnei Eliyahu, because if these were the years of Eliyahu Hanavi, shemiftachos geshamim biyado, who has the mafteach, the key to reign in his hands, which is a big deal, because as we learned on Beis Amud Aleph, the key to the reign is always biyado shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the fact that Hashem granted the keys to reign to Eliyahu is a big chiddush. But at any rate, because in the years of Eliyahu, Eliyahu made a shvua that there was not going to be any rain. So he took it upon himself to withhold the rain during those years. So he says, Shimon ben Shetach says to Choni, if what you had done were in the years of Eliyahu Hanavi, who said that there wasn't to be any rain, wouldn't there be a massive chilul Hashem? Because mimanavshach, you would have Eliyahu Hanavi saying there should be no rain as a klala. You had Choni Amagel who was saying we need rain, and Hashem would have to listen to one of them, and whomever he's listening to, the other person is creating chilul Hashem because it shows that he is he's not listened to, and that Hashem is not listening to him. So that would be a terrible thing. So this is a very perplexing comment from Shimon ben Shetach, because Harei Choni Amagel didn't live in the times of Eliyahu Hanavi, so why do we really care? Why do we care that if he was living in the times of Eliyahu Hanavi, this would be a big Chil Hashem? Yeah, but he's not, and so it's not, and so why do I care? I don't know.
So based off of that logic, we wouldn't get on Noah's case. We get on Noah's case all the time. If he was in Avram Avinu's generation, then he wouldn't be a tzaddik at all. We
right.
use the exact same logic.
But so. That tells us about what his status is now. That tells us about what his tzidkus is now. But what we're saying about Shem ben Shetach is, you should not have done what you did, because if you were living in the times of Eliyahu Hanavi, it would be a big chil Hashem. Who cares? He's not living in the times of
a straw man.
What?
The straw man.
I don't understand why it would be a big. I mean, there are machlokeses amongst gedolim all the time.
Yes.
So if you have the two gedolia doors, so to speak,
yes.
Eliyahu Hanavi and.
And Choni? Yeah.
So what's the big deal? It's a machlokes between gedolim.
Right, but then the onlookers would say, Eliyahu just made a klala, and he's forcing God's hand in the klala. Choni Amagel is forcing Hashem's hand in a bracha. One of them is going to win. The other person is a shlamazel.
Well, maybe
shlamazel wasn't invented until like
Shlamiel. Shlamiel.
Maybe
let's go forward.
Shimon ben Shetach.
We have to have one of those every single time. Go ahead.
Shimon ben Shetach maybe was trying to say is, listen, when it happened in times of Eliyahu, it was Ratzon Hashem. There's supposed to be a drought.
Yes.
Okay. And now, if it's happening now, it's a son of Hashem, there's a drought. Why are you forcing Hashem's hand if it's meant? In other words, and maybe you shut the people down. It's almost second about the tzibur down.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, okay. Why should you just do
okay.
it on your own?
Okay, I hear. Okay, very good. Very good, good point. If it wasn't a good point, I would have shut you down because we have to move. But that was a good point. You should know. Here we go. Okay. Shimon ben Shetach continues and says, what can I do for you? Because you misbehave in front of Hashem. Nevertheless, he does your will. Just like a son who misbehaves in front of his father. But the father can't help but do the will of the son. And he says to his father, Abba, please take me to the bathhouse where I can have nice hot water. And shetfeni bitzonein, and now rinse me off with cold water. Tainli agozim shkedim aforsaken v'rimonim. Please give me walnuts and almonds and pistachios and rimonim and pomegranates. Venosin lo, and he gives it to him. So we see that you are in front of Hashem like a son is to his father. Venosin lo, and he gives him everything that he asks for. Va'alecha kasavoymer, and so on you the pasuk says yismach avicha v'imecha, your father and your mother are happy. V'sagel yoladatecha, and the people who give birth to you are joyous. So in other words, you shouldn't be doing what you do. You shouldn't have done what you did. But what can I do? This is the way you are in front of Hashem, and this is the way Hashem responds. So, zeu. That's the end of that. Tana Rabbanan. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. This is an interesting. This is an interesting brisa that is an addendum to the previous story. Tana Rabbanan, Mashalchu bnei Lishcha Hagazis Lachoni Amagel. What did the bnei the Lishcha Hagazis, who were in the Sanhedrin, what did they send to Choni Amagel? They sent him the following message. These messages were psukim from Iov. These are three psukim from Iov, back to back to back psukim, and they go like this. The pasuk says, "V'sigzar Omer v'yakim lacha, v'al drachecha naga or." What does it mean? V'sigzar omer, he decrees v'yakim lecha, and it is established for you. It is set, or it is established for you. V'al drachecha nagaor, and on your ways, you shed light. So what does that mean? So they sent to Choni Amagel. It means like this: V'sigzar omer, ata gazarta milmata. You make gzeros down here. V'akadosh Baruch Hu mekayim amirecha milmala, and Hashem is mekayim everything that you ask for down here, up in Shamayim. V'al drachecha nagaor, and on your ways there sheds light. What does that mean? Dor shahaya afel he'arta b'tfilasecha. The generation that was dark, you have lit up with your tefillos. The next pasuk says, "Ki hishpilu vatomer geva." They were lowered, and you said to rise. What does that mean? Dor shahaya shafel higbasu b'tfilasecha. The generation that was very low, you have lifted up with your tefillos. The pasuk continues, "V'shach inayim Yoshia." He who is shach enayim, shach means to bend down, so he whose eyes are bent down, Yoshia, shall be saved. What does that mean? Dor sheshach ba'avono, a generation that has been lowered, been reduced by its sins. Hoshato b'tfilasecha, you have saved them with your tefillos.
Who are you talking to?
This is the Bnei Lishchas Agazis sent in apparently a letter to Choni Amagel, praising him with these psukim. And they are darshaning these psukim as it applies to him and his relationship both to Hashem and the people.
Yeah.
So, really in it.
Wow.
What?
Choni Amagel's tefillos save the generation.
Yes, Choni Amagel's tefillos consistently save the people whose actions, whose deeds are not up to par.
But they daven at the end.
They don't daven. Well, no, he davened. He davened. He did the whole thing.
Okay.
With tefillah secha, with your tefillos.
Okay.
The next pasuk in Eo says, Yimaleit inaki. What does that mean? What does it mean that in inaki, meaning somebody who is not pure, escapes? So they darshan it to mean, Dor shaloha yanaki, a generation that was not clean. Maltaso bitfilah secha. You have allowed them to escape with your tefillos. And the end of that pasuk is v'nimlat bevor kapecha, and it escapes with your clean hands, meaning melataso b'maaseh yadecha habrurin. You have escaped. You have helped this generation escape with your clear maaseh yadayim. This is really the unbelievable letter that the Lishchas Agazis sends to Choni Amagel. Now, why is this braisa important? Why is this braisa important?
Shows the power of tefillah.
Shows the power of tefillah. It's number one, because everything is a reference to the tefillah.
Tzaddik can save the generation.
Tzaddik can save the generation, absolutely.
It's showing a completely different side from what Shimon Shetach
showed. Exactly. Exactly, totally. I completely agree with you. And that was the ha'ara that I was going to...
Can you say that again?
Shimon ben Shetach was very critical of Choni. And essentially, he was lambasting him, right? Saying, you had no right to do this. You should not be doing this. You should not have done this. There's nothing we could do about it, because this is the way Hashem responds to you, but it's inappropriate behavior. Whereas the exact opposite, is a big machlokas chachamim as to how Choni acted, right? What's fascinating is in the Mishnah, we only hear the side of Shimon ben Shetach. We don't hear any of this braisa about how the Chachamim, the Lishchas Hagazis, responded. But they were praising Choni. This is unbelievable.
Wow.
This is a generation who deserves nothing, and you, through all of your tefillos, you saved the whole door, and you saved us financially. It's a potential Chilul Hashem. There is a potential Chilul Hashem of what you did. What you did was responded.
I mean, was this in public?
Yes, it was Ug Uga. This is in public. He didn't go to his backyard and draw a little circle and say, "I'm not going." You know, this is my little stadium.
Let me hear. Let's go.
He went into
stories. Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay. Exciting.
Okay. It's always exciting when you're moving, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like fascinating.
Fascinating stuff.
Two sides.
Great stuff. Anyway, that's the end of that story. But yeah, the point is, I definitely agree with you. The point is, you have two tzadim over here as to how Choni acted and how it was viewed. and how was it received and viewed by the people of that generation.
Wow.
Fascinating story. Anyway, the Gemara goes on and quotes an equally fascinating story, which I cannot say I have any pshat in. If anybody wants to learn up a Ben Yehoyada or an Ein Yaakov on this little Gemara over here, it would be fascinating to hear it, because this Gemara is perplexing from one line to the next. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. There's another Choni Amagel story, which is going to knock your socks off. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kol Yomov She'olso Tzadik. The entire life of Choni Amagel, that Tzadik, referencing Choni Amagel, Hayem Mitzar al Mikra Zeh. He was in pain from the following Mikra, from the following Pasuk, which we know quite well. David HaMelech writes in the Shir HaMalos B'Shuv Hashem as Shivas Tzion, when Klal Yisrael will come back to Tzion, this is during the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, when they come back after 70 years of Galus, Hayinu Kecholmim, it was like the 70 years we were dreaming. Amar, so Rachoni would always say, I don't understand. Mi'ika denayim shivin shnin b'chalma, is there such a person that can sleep for 70 years that he has a chalom? What does that mean? Hayunu kecholmim. We were dreaming. We weren't dreaming. We were alive. We were very alive. Nobody sleeps for 70 years. What does it mean that one can sleep for 70 years? Doesn't happen. That's Choni's problem. Okay? Now, I don't quite understand the problem. First of all, this whole story is going to have to be understood allegorically, as you will see. Mm-hmm. It has to be understood allegorically. But at any rate, I don't understand in pshat what the question is, because it doesn't say hayunu kecholmim. It's hayinu kicholmim. It was like we were dreaming. Meaning the pshat is that during the 70 years when we were in Galus, it was painful. It was devastating. We had lost the Beis HaMikdash. We were thrown to the enemies. We were scattered among the many nations.
It's like surreal.
It was a devastating calamity for Klal Yisrael. Now we're coming back and we're seeing the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. You look back at the previous 70 years, and it was like a dream.
Why is that difficult to understand?
What is what difficult to understand?
To understand that it was like you would think it would not be possible.
Right.
It's possible.
Right. But Choni Amagel is. I'm not understanding why Choni Amagel is so disturbed by it. He's disturbed by how can it be that a person sleeps for 70 years? But I'm like,
okay.
It's not 70 years. Anyway, Choni Amagel is understanding it, at least in pshat. He's understanding it literally, that it was like we were dreaming that we were sleeping, but the person doesn't sleep for 70. Anyway, it's kind of a perplexing remark. But at any rate, as you'll see from the continuation of the story, there is what to be said about this. The story continues. The story continues and says like this. Yom Achad, one day, Hava Azu Ba'orcha, he was walking along the way, as people do. Chaz Yaleahu Gavra, he saw a certain man, the Havanata Charuva, who was planting a carob tree. Note, a carob tree is a Charuva. What are we talking about? The 70 years during Chorban. Okay, so it's not for no reason that he's planting a charuva, he's planting a carob tree. At any rate, Amrle, he says to him, Hayad kama shnin ta'in. He says to the man, how long is it going to take for this tree to bear fruit? And he says, Amrle, shivin shnin, it's going to take 70 years. Now, anybody who's been near the Merkaz and sees those carob trees that are covering the grass of the landscape knows that the carob trees do not take 70 years to grow. They take a few years to grow, but not 70.
It was a big professor of botany here. He worked on the Srogin and his Dr. Felix is his talent, you know, with the flora and fauna of the Bible. Anyway, so Dr. Goldstein, one of his guys found a very old male carob tree that started giving fruit.
Okay.
So there is, we had in the Gemara somewhere, there's a town in Eretz Yisrael that has only male carob trees. Now, the male carob trees give some kind of a dumb little fruit that's nothing, but when they get those trees, when they get around 70, he found them that they're like 70 years old, this doctor.
Really? So it's Lav Davka, so
maybe
male...
Was that, maybe that
male carob tree, or you know, what?
That could be all they had around that area.
Uh-huh.
Because there is such a town, then had Gemara that... It was a town that had only male carobs. Basically, you don't have fruit, but in the very old.
Wow. Okay.
Bring it to life.
This is great stuff.
I saw Rabbi Shimon's carob tree.
What?
I was at Pekin a few days ago. I saw Rabbi Shimon's carob.
You saw him the carob tree.
His cave.
You saw his tree.
There, yeah.
Okay. Did you send regards?
It's getting more and more sense now.
Last June, Vicky Ian Martin.
Wow, fascinating stuff. That's awesome. That is awesome.
That helps us.
Okay. So anyway, he says, how long is it going to take for it to bear fruit? And he says, it's going to take 70 years. And in fact, I stand corrected. There are such carrot trees that apparently take 70 years to bear fruit. Amr Leib. So he said to him, Shita lecha d'chayet shivin shnin. So he says to the man, are you so certain you're going to live 70 years that you're going to actually reap the benefits of the fruit that you're trying to bear? What are you doing? Right. You're going to live 70 years. Amr Leib says to him, the man said to him, Alma b'charuva ashkachte. When I came into the world, I found the world with a carob tree. In other words, my parents and my forefathers planted carob trees for me. And so kihechi deshasi li avasi, just like my father planted a carob tree for me, shasli nami livroi, I'm also going to plant a carob tree for my children. So I have no intention of reaping the benefits of what I'm planting. I'm simply doing it for future generations. Again, if you understand this whole thing allegorically, you have to understand how all this applies to where Choni HaMagil is living and how he's referencing Hayinu Kecholmim v'chule. I don't know exactly how to connect it, but this is an allegorical story that references this particular thing. At any rate, the story continues. It gets even better. The story gets even better. And it says, Yosef Kakorach Rifta. So now Choni HaMagil sits down to eat bread. Now this eating bread is a fascinating thing because it comes up in many. We've had already many places where we're sitting down eating bread. What that's a reference to, I don't know. But anyway, he sits down to eat bread, and Asala Shinsa, he decides, all of a sudden, sleep overtakes him, and he becomes very tired. And Nim, he falls asleep. Ahadrele Mishunisa, a rock surrounds him, and Ichsi Meena, and completely conceals him from the eyes of the public. So now you have Choni HaMagil sleeping with this rock that comes out of nowhere and surrounds him and conceals him from public eye. Venim Shivin Shnin, and what do you know? He slept for 70 years. So who says he can't sleep for 70 years? Rip Van Winkle, exactly. Because of this story, I read the Rip Van Winkle story. This inspired me to read that story. Anyway, that's a fascinating story. Kikam Chazya Lehu Gavra. When he got up, Chazya Lehu Gavra. It would be an interesting thesis to do a comparison between the Rip Van Winkle story and this one. Kikam Chazya Lehu Gavra. When he got up finally after 70 years, quite the nap, he saw a certain man, the Havaka Malakat Minaihu, that was collecting the carobs from the carob tree. Amr Leisa, he said to him, At hu deshasalte, are you the one who planted it? Amr Leisa, he said to him, No, Barbare Anna, I am his grandson of the man who planted it. So Amr Leisa, so Choni then said, Shmamina, this is a proof, Denaimi Shivin Shinin, that I must have slept for 70 years, because in fact, this is not the man, same man who planted it, is collecting it, it's his grandson. So he understands now that a person can sleep for 70 years. Again, what this means, Tzarechin. Chazel Achamre Diasyaldele Ramchi Ramchi. He saw his donkey that he had saddled and he had tied up at a certain point when he 70 years ago. And now that donkey had many different generations of donkeys. Right? Now, of what relevance is this to the story? I have no idea.
Ramchi
means many different donkeys. Meaning,
in other words,
generations of donkeys.
You're really saying new generations.
Yeah,
new generation.
Yeah. What's strange is that this really has
new
nothing to do with the story because he's already concluded.
New transportation.
He's already concluded that he's slept for 70 years. So the fact that there are now generations of donkeys doesn't. We don't need that as a further raya. We already had the raya that his great-grandson was picking the carob, so now he's already determined that he's slept for 70 years.
What does the second bit of information add for us?
Correct. That's precisely my question. Second bit of information doing for us that the first did not? I don't know. What do I care that there are generations of donkeys? Go ahead, 30 seconds.
Okay. The grandson was the grandson of the guy that planted the carob tree.
Correct.
Not his grandson.
Whose grandson? The grandson?
No, I'm saying the grandson of the person who planted the carob tree.
Yeah.
Not Choni's grandson.
No, Choni's grandson
we
is coming
to
up
him
We're getting to him next. So you're jumping the gun here.
No,
right?
I just wanted to clarify that.
Don't.
Because,
people
may have misunderstood.
Did anybody misunderstand? Nobody misunderstood. All right, here we go. We're going. Yeah. So anyway, Azalabese. And Azalabese. Now he goes to his house. Choni is going back to his home, back at the ranch. Amrlahu, he says to them, to the people in the household, Bray the Choni Amagil Mikayim, is the son of Choni Amagil around? I want to see my son. Amrle, they said to him, Bray Lessa, his son is no longer around. But Barbre Isa, his grandson is around. We will see soon a story of his grandson, if we get there today. I don't know if we will have a chance. Okay, here we go. Amr Lahu.
Go to the next stop.
All right. Amr Lahu, he says to them, Ana Choni Amagel. Guess what, guys? It's me, Choni. So, Lohim Nuhu. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe that this could be Choni Amagel. Remember, it's been 70 years later. So, Azal Beis HaMedrash, he now comes to the Beis Medrash, to his friendly confines of the Beis Medrash. Shamina L'Rabbanan Ka'amri, and he hears the Rabbanan, the people in the Beis Medrash, they're talking.
Learning.
And they're learning and they're saying, Nehirin Shmaitzin Kibishnei Choni Amagel. Our learning is all of a sudden as clear as the days of Choni Amagel. All of a sudden we have this inspiration, this light, this clarity of learning that we didn't have 5 minutes ago. What's going on? Because when Choni back then used to come into the Beis Medrash, any question that the Rabbanan had, he was able to answer on the spot. There was a perfect clarity to Choni Amagel. What has happened all of a sudden? So Choni says, Ananihu. Choni's here.
It's me.
I'm here. Choni, don't do that.
Okay, you didn't figure the story.
Lohim knew. They did not believe him, though. Velo abdile yikr kim the boile. They did not give him the kavod that he was seeking, which is a very fascinating thing, by the way. There was a drasha given on Shabbos day after davening by Moshe Lichtenstein, who said that a person has two purposes in this world, and one of them is to get kavod. Person has two desires in this world, and one of them is to get kavod. The other one is to have simcha. Then the second one is to have kavod. And this Gemara is over here, l'chora raya for him. He wanted a certain kavod that he wasn't getting. Chalosh daite. And because of that, he got depressed. Boy rachmi, he daven to Hashem, umis, and he died. Amar Rava, Rava said, Hainu da amri inshi. This is what people colloquially say, O Chavrusa, O Misusa. Either you have companionship or you're dead. Choni, who had no companionship because at home they didn't recognize him, in the Beis Medrash they didn't recognize him, he said, it's not worth it for me to be alive. Fascinating Gemara. Fascinating. Now, we can continue if you want. Can we go for another 10 minutes?
It's 9:30.
There is this Gemara takes us very far into Chav Gimel Amud Beis. That's the only reason why I'm a little bit hesitant, because it takes us.
Are you not here Thursday? Is that the story?
Right, I'm not here on Thursday, so at some point we're gonna have to make up these Gemaras.
Yeah, and we have a chasna.
And people have a chasna for many reasons. Okay, but
it's his son's getting married.
But many people have a chasna. Many people are away. I'm away. So there, if you want to come and hear no shir, you can do that. Okay.
Let's go it now. Come on.
By a show of hands, who is in it? Who is still in it mentally, and who's kaput?
I'm in it.
You're in it. Who else? You're in it.
Yeah.
Who's kaput?
You're definitely
okay.
In it.
Kaput
for sure.
What?
Yeah, but I can take this for the team.
15
no, don't
minutes.
Take one for the team. How do you feel?
Go out of the way.
What?
You can go out of the way.
You can go out of the way. What do you say? What?
Go ahead.
You sure? This is a great story. It's a great story. It's a shame. It's a shame to just waste the story on a fast trip like this. But we're gonna have to do it anyway. Yeah. Here's the next story about Choni Amagel's grandson. Fascinating story again. Abba Chilkia Barbara Dra Choni Hamagel. Abba Chilkia was the grandson. Grandson of Choni Amagel Hava. The Chemisrech Amel Amitra, when people needed rain, Hava Meshadri Rabban Lagabe, people would go straight to the grandson of Choni Amagel. Uboy Rachmi, he would immediately daven Vasi Mitra, and rain would come. He was incredible as his grandfather. Zimnachada, Isrech Amel Amitra, one time the world needed rain, they were short on rain, Shadr Rabbanan Zugad Rabban Lagabe. So the Rabbanan sent a pair of rabbis to Choni Amagel's grandson. Limiboy Rachmi, in order that he should daven on their behalf. Denesi Mitris, that rain should come. Azul Abese Velo Ashkechuhu. They went to his house, but they did not find him. Azul Bidavra, they went to the field. Vashkechuhu Davaka Rafik. They found him that he was Rafik. He was plowing. He was working the field. Yavule Shalma, they gave him a Shalom Aleichem. Velo Isaber Lohu Ape, but he didn't even turn to them. Bepanya, in the evening time, he have a minkat sivi, when he was picking up his wood after his work was over. Darat sivi umara bechad katva, he would raise the wood and his shovel on one shoulder, uglima bechad katva, and in the other bare shoulder, he would put his garment on that other shoulder. Kula orchalo seyem esani. So the entire way, this entire journey back, he would not wear any shoes. Kimati lamaya, when he came to water, though, siyemisani. Then he did put on shoes. Kimati lehizmi vihigi, when he came to hizmi vihigi, right? These are not two people. These are thorns and thistles. Delinhu lamane, he would pick up his, whatever it was, his clothing, right? Is the hem of his.
So they would be. Yeah.
Right. Kimata Lamasa, when he came to the city, Nafka Devisu La'ape Kimikashta, his wife would come out to greet him, and she was adorned. She was beautifully adorned with jewelry. Kimata Labese, when he came to his house, Alas Devisu Beresha, first he had his wife go into the house, Vahadar Ayal Ihu, then he went into the house, Vahadar Ayal Rabbanon, and then the Rabbanon came in. All of these are kind of interesting things that are happening. Yosef Ikarach Rifta, again, he sits down to eat bread. What that's a reference to, I don't know. But they're sitting down to eat bread. He does not tell the Rabbanon who are gathered around him, please take. He doesn't say that. Rather, Palag Rifta Leonuki, what he does is he splits his bread among his children. Likashisha Chada, to the older child he gives one piece of bread, Lazutra Trey, and to the younger one he gives two, which is odd, because the older one, you would think, would require more bread. Why is he giving more bread to the younger one? Amr Laladvisu, he says to his wife, Yadana Durabanam Mishum Mitra Kaasu, I know that the Rabbanan are coming here because they need rain. Nisik Leigra, let's go up to the roof, Viniboy Rachmi, and we'll daven up in the roof. Efshar Demartzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Hashem will listen to us, V'yaisi Mitru, and he'll bring rain, V'lanachzik Tuvus L'nafshin, and we don't have to get a thank you from the Rabbanan, meaning they won't even know that it's us that did it. So what did they do? Sakuli Igra, they went up to the roof. Kam Ihu Bechadas Visa, he stood on one corner of the roof. Ve'ihi Bechadas Visa, and his wife stood on the other corner of the roof. Kadim Saluka Anani Meharach Visa Dervisu, and what happened? The cloud glided towards the corner of his wife, and not his corner. Kinachis, when they came down, Amr Lohu, he said to them, to the Rabbanan, Amai Asu Rabbanan, now tell me, why are you guys here? Amrule, they said to him, Shadru la Rabbanan legabi damar. The Rabbanan sent us, Limibar Rachmi Amitra, so that you should ask for us for rain. Amr Lohu, he said to them, Baruch HaMakom, thank God, Shlo Hitzrich Estem la Abachilkia, that you don't even need me at all, because it's raining outside. Amrulay, they said to him, Yadina Dimitra Machmas Marhu Da'asa. No, no, no. We know that the rain came because of you. You're not going to fool us with the old let's go to the roof trick. That's the oldest trick in the book. Ella, Leimalan Mar, Hani Mili Datmialan. Rather, we have some questions for you because we've been following you around and you've been doing oddball things the entire day. My time Makiyahibna Lamar Shalma Lawasbilan Mar Ape. Why is it when we asked you a Shalom Aleichem, you didn't even turn to us? Amar Lahui says to them, I'll tell you why. Schir Yom Havi. I am a Schir Yom. I'm paid by the hour. And it wouldn't be right to be Mizbato for the 1 second to turn my face towards you wouldn't be right because I'm getting paid for it. Wow. Vamina lo ifker. I should not be Mizbato for even that minute. Well, my time off. So then they ask him further. What's the reason Dara Martzivi Achad Kaspe Viglima Achad Kaspe? What's the reason why you allocated the wood and the wood on one shoulder and your coat on the other shoulder? Amar Lahu, he says to them, Talish She'ula Haisa. That's because the cloak is borrowed. Lahachi Shali, Lahachi Lo Shali. I borrowed it for a certain purpose. I borrowed it to cover myself. I did not borrow it to be used for to soften the wood on my shoulder. So it wouldn't be right for me to use it for a purpose other than the purpose that I borrowed it for.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. My time akula orcha lo sayamar misani. Why is it that the entire journey on the way back, you did not put on any shoes? The chimata lamaya siyam misani. But when you came to the water, you did put on your shoes. So Amalui says to them, simple. Kula orcha chazina b'maya, lo kachazina. The whole way, I can see what's in front of me, so I can avoid whatever thorns and prickly things are on the way, so I can dance around them. But in the water, I have no idea what's underneath the water, so I have to wear shoes to protect my feet. That's very strange, because that doesn't even seem like it's a mile.
Well,
it's
there
just
might be
kind of like a
duh.
What?
Might be hard, but you know, it's hard to walk.
Hard walks. My taima. What's the reason? Kimata marli hizmi behigi delinu lamane. What's the reason why when you came to the thorns and thistles, you picked up your garment and therefore exposed your feet to the thorns and thistles? Amalahu says to them, ze male arucha veze ena male arucha. That's because my feet can heal, but my garment cannot. My taima. So that's the value of a person, how a person should value his his money. My time akimata mar lamasa nafka de bisto demar ki mikashta. What's the reason why your wife came out to greet you and she was so beautifully adorned? So Amar Lohi says to them, this is an unbelievable Mr. Haskell, kidesh velo etan enai beisha acheres. My wife
else
didn't want me to look at another woman. And if this is by the grandson of Choni Amagel, alachas kama vakama, is it by us?
Wait. So,
I'm on a roll here.
No, continue. Come on, let's go. No, let's not stop. Go.
My time, Ila he Beresha v'hadar Ila Mara Basra v'hadar Ilina Nanan. What's the reason why you had us go into the house in that order, where your wife went first, then you, then us? So Amar Lahu says to them very simply, Mishum delobat kisuli. I have not checked you guys out. I don't know how clean you guys are. I don't know how tznius you guys are. But I don't want you guys following my wife. So I'm going to have a separation between my wife and you, and I'm going to be that separation. My time at Kikarach Rifta, what is it? Kikarach Mar Rifta. What's the reason why when you came to break bread, when you sat down for the meal, Lo Amarlan Isu Kruchu, you weren't very hospitable, and you didn't say, please eat. And he says to them, Mishum Delo Nafisha Rifta, because you guys know that there isn't enough food on this table. Vamina Lo Achsik Behu Rabbanam B'tivusa B'chinam. And I'll say, you know what's going to happen? Because I know that you guys see that there isn't enough food on the table, what's going to happen is I'm going to tell you guys, please take, and you're going to say, no, we're not going to take, but thank you, and I'm going to get a thank you for no reason, because I didn't even deserve the thank you, because I know, and you know, that there's no reason for you guys to take, because there's no possibility of you guys taking, because there isn't enough food to begin with. So I shouldn't even get a thank you for no reason. Unbelievable.
Continue.
I intend to. Thank you. So... okay, I got it. Thank you. My time, do you want to tell me where I am? My time, Yahiv Marli Anuka, Kashisha Chad the Rifta Ulazuta Tre. What's the reason why for your children you gave to the older one one and to the younger one two? Amr Lahu, so he said to them, Hai Ka Bevesa, because the older one is in the house, and so he doesn't need the bread. Vahai Yasid Bebe Knishta. The other one is coming from a long day at the base medrash in the shul, and therefore needs more to eat. I don't know what the mila there is. That just seems
it's
to be an observation.
Maybe he's more hungry.
Okay, but that's an observation. That's not a mila. I don't know why the Gemara has to bring that down.
Maybe we'll figure it out later.
All right, I'm sure we won't. My time, Kadim Salika Nadi.
How did they know this when they were not up on the
roof? Come on. Let's go.
My time, Kadim Salika Nadi Mehach. Zavisa da havas kaima devisa de marla anana today. What's the reason why when you guys were up on the roof, we noticed, because we were peeking, we noticed that
the rain came up, not us.
Okay, thank you. We noticed that the clouds shifted towards your wife, but they did not shift towards, or they, at least before they shifted towards you. So he says, I'll tell you why. Mishum de itza shchicha bebesa. Because my wife is typically in the house. V'yava rifta la'anya, and she gives bread to the aniyim. U'makarva hanyasa, and that is makarev the hana. In other words, their hana is immediate because she gives them bread right away, and so they can eat the bread immediately. But va'ana, what do I do when a poor person comes to me? Yahiv nazuza, I give him money. And that forces him to go to the shuk and to buy the food and therefore and then eat the food. So it's not mikariv lahana. He has to wait, and therefore that waiting, that delay is because I'm giving money and my wife is giving bread, and therefore that that convenience that she's giving them allows her the zchus of having the rain come on her behalf. Inami, or another possible reason, is this is fascinating. Hino biryuni. There are ami haaretz in our neighborhood, dahavu b'shivavusan, that are in our neighborhood. Ana boy rachmi delimusu. I can't stand these guys, and I daven for them to die. Vehi. But my wife, Bayarachmi Delahadim Batiyufta. But they, my wife davens that they should do, they should be Chozer B'tshuva, Vahadru. And they do. They are Chozer B'tshuva. And that is the end of a fascinating Agadita. What? No, we're stopping here. We're stopping here. Okay.
10 minutes.
I feel like this became like a bullying thing.
What?
It's like a bullying session. Like, don't you want to learn more?
It's fascinating.